Good morning, church. How's everybody doing today?
Good morning.
It's great to have everybody here. Well, most of everybody, right? We have a welcome to our service. I'm now going to juggle. Now, welcome to our service. My name is Scott Vong, and I'd just like, again, to welcome you to a little bit of our unconventional service here. Amen. Normally, we're on the other side of the building, but today we're having a split service. And so we're having a 2 p.m. service up in the Towson area. So thank you for joining us for our regular morning service. It's a little bit warmer. We're all a little bit closer, but that's great. Amen?
Amen.
Yes, it is good. It is good. I'm going to press a button. Excuse me. This is where the magic happens. Good thing we don't believe in magic. In the meantime, what we're going to do is we're going to announce that there is an Elantra license plate, SFZF59. Your lights are on. We want to make sure you get home. So if you have an Elantra, I think it is an SFZF59. Please check your lights. There's a rear entrance. No one will see you. Please turn off your headlights so that you can make it home today. That's great. Let's take a moment and greet your neighbor while we figure out how to get things going. Make sure you make it home today. Amen. All right. Well, let's bow our heads in a word of prayer, and we'll get our hearts and our minds geared back towards the service. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, Lord, we thank you so much for our flexibility and our ability to shuffle around. Thank you so much for just a smaller service, God, that allows us to meet people and connect a little bit more. I do pray, Father, that you allow our hearts and our minds, God, to focus on you. I pray for your spirit, God. I pray for it to lead us and to guide us, God, in your word today. And I pray, God, that it helps us, God, to hear what you want us to hear so that we can go where we need to go and follow you ever so much more closely. We love you, God. We thank you for this time. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So again, my name is Scott Vong, and I do want to welcome you. We are continuing our parable series. The series is called Search and Find. And so looking at parables and digging a little bit deeper about how they apply to our lives. Today, we're looking at the parable of a faithful servant. And so you can turn to your Bibles in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, verse 45 through 51. And while you're turning there, I wanted to share something to help gear our minds towards what this parable is talking about. And You know, this week I had some things happen, and I wasn't sure why it was happening, but as I continued to study this parable, I felt like God gave me an example that helped me to think about this parable. You know, and let's read the parable, and then I'll share this in a minute. Matthew chapter 24, verse 45. It says, "Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants and his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. Truly, I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, 'My master is staying away a long time.' And he then begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Interesting parable, right? Always catches your attention when it ends with cutting to pieces and being assigned a place. As if it's not bad enough to be cut to pieces, he is assigned a place with hypocrites. But an interesting parable, we're gonna dive into it a little bit. But I wanted to talk about this idea. You know, this week I had an experience, and I'll explain this picture. If you get what it is, just hold your thoughts for a minute. We recently moved into a new home a couple months ago. Faye and I, God has blessed us with a great place. And, we have a home security system, and, it's automated to our air conditioning. It's connected to our doors. And so guess what happens? The door lock stops working. The air conditioning stops working. It feels a lot like this sometimes. What do you do in those kind of times? You call customer service. And you call customer service, and they're like, "Hey, you know what? Go online." So I called customer service. I went on, and they're like, "Hey, go online and fill out a request on the website." So I go on the website. I click on a thing. There's nothing to fill out, so there's a chat. I chat with them. They're like, "Hey, so you actually need to call the support line to figure out what you need to do." I was like, "Okay, you got it." So I call the support line. I call, and I set up an appointment. But then I need to change something, so I call back. But it's an automated line, and so they provide four different options. None of the options really fit, so I'm like, "I'm just going to pick one, and then maybe they'll help me out." So I pick one. Customer says, "Hey, this is tech support." I'm like, "Hey, I need to change this about my appointment." "Oh, I don't handle that, so let me shift you to the department that handles that." So I was like, "Okay." So they shipped me. The customer relations, the people that kind of try to keep you if you try to leave. And so I talked to them, they're like, "Oh, we don't handle that. I'm going to shuffle you to tech support." Before I could tell them, no, I was just there. They transferred me to tech support. I said, "Okay," so a different tech support guy. And I was like, "Hey, I was just here." He's like, "No, you weren't. I didn't talk to you." I was like, "I know. I was just at tech support." And so he's like, "Well, let me transfer you." I was like, no. And so he transfers me. And so at this point, he transfers me again. I'm on hold for about 15 minutes. I don't know if you've ever experienced this, right? If you've ever experienced this, this is the idea of what it feels like to be in the passing the buck experience, right? That's what's going on. He's passing the buck. And it's tough to be in a situation where, you're just getting passed on one person after another. It was interesting. What ended up happening was after 15 minutes, I hung up. The next day, I had to call back again. And this time, I got on the phone. I was like, "Please don't transfer me. This is what happened." And I, as fast as I could, explained everything that happened. But this time, it was great. The guy was like, "Look, I'm not going to get off the line with you. I will not transfer you. I'm going to stay with you until we figure out what's going on." And immediately, this one person totally redeemed the whole company. I'm no longer going to cancel my service. It was interesting, the contrast of getting passed along and someone who's just like, "Hey, I'm going to stick with you and take care of you until we figure this thing out." Wow. It's different, right? And I think in this parable, we're going to look at two things today, really. And we're going to title it a little bit different, but the basic idea, the two things we're going to look at today is the idea of responsibility and readiness. Right? I think this parable talks about these two ideas of responsibility and readiness. Or you can talk about it as urgency. Right? The first thing we're going to talk about is responsibility. And it's tough. In this passing the buck situation, I felt no one took responsibility, right? This is not my department. Pass. This is not my department. Pass. This is not, you know what I mean? And it finally took someone to say, "I don't really care. I'm not even authorized to fix this problem, but I'm going to make all the calls and I'm going to help you fix this problem." Right? And that's how customer service should be. But we're going to talk about some of these ideas today. This is how it should be. The last customer service agent, it was like, you know what? The buck stops here. It's always funny finding these illustrations. But just to realize that he took a stand and was like, I'm gonna figure this out. I'm gonna help you out. I'm not gonna pass you on. The buck stops here. I'm gonna make decisions to help you figure out what's going on. And I think this parable talks about this idea a little bit. And I think the title of the first point I'm going to talk about in terms of responsibility is, with great responsibility comes great power. And you're like, I think you have it reversed. I do believe Spider-Man said that with great power comes great responsibility. But in actuality, I think with great responsibility comes great power. And God talks about this as he explains, Jesus shares this parable. I think this parable speaks to the concept that God has given us great responsibility. A lot of times we look at this and we think, oh, well, you know, he's the master, I'm the servant, and he's making me work. But it says so much about God that he gave us the responsibility, that he looks at us and sees possibility. He looks at us and sees that he wants to give us his authority.
Yeah.
You know, where we have this responsibility of seeing after his people. It says to feed my servants and to take care of them in the right time. To look over my household. God has given us the Great Commission, and we see that explained in different ways in Matthew 28, for instance. And here at this church, we try to live this out, that we are servants feeding God's people, right? And it's not easy. You know, Matthew 28, 18 says, Jesus, and it says in that verse 18 that Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Right? And I believe here we try to live this passage out. We truly try to feed God's people, people who are here in the church and abroad, people who know Jesus, people who don't know Jesus, but we're trying to bring true food to people. Right? And it is a great responsibility, but the great thing is it comes with great power. God asks us to do something amazing because he sees us as his means. He sees you as the reach to how he's going to get the good news, the hope of salvation to all people. He believes in us. This isn't just about work. This isn't just about fear and judgment. Right? I think a lot of times as we think about how do I do this? How do I feed all of God's people? There's fear, there's trepidation. And I think we can feel some of this if we've ever felt this responsibility. And you came here and you think, well, he's clearly not talking to me. This is one of those lessons I can check out on. No. So if somehow you made your way here, this is your mission. You may think, you know, well, I don't even know if I want to believe God. Well, you know what? God believes in you, and you are part of this mission as well. He has plans and vision for you to bring the most amazing news to the world. If you were a singer, you're like, oh, well, I just sing songs. Well, you know what? The best song that you could sing is his good news and bring it to the ears of others. If you think, well, I'm just in business, well, you know what? The best pitch you could ever throw is to get people to come and hear the good news. And this is for you. God looks at you and he thinks, you know what? This person will help me bring my gospel to the world. But some of us are excited about that. I know when I first came to church and I heard this charge, I didn't even believe, really. I wasn't even sure what I believed in Jesus. But I was like, this is amazing. The purpose. I've never had a purpose like this before. I've never heard of someone who believed in me like this before. And I felt it in the scriptures. And some of us may be excited, but some of us hear this and we're like, oh my goodness. There's a statistic that says people are more afraid of dying, more afraid of public speaking than they are of dying. Yeah. Right? You know, you want me to talk to people? I would rather get shot. Like, I would rather, like, something hit me. I don't want to talk to anybody. You know, I work in IT for a reason. I don't know. Sorry, IT guys. And some of us may feel this. Some of us may feel like, well, you know, all I know is how to hit keys or strum strings or, you know what I mean? But God has vision beyond what you think you can do. Now, I think we can relate to how the disciples felt in this passage. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 15, it says up here, as evening approached, the disciples came to him, right, after a long day of watching Jesus preach. It says, this is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food. And immediately he sends, like, man, these guys are selling it hard. Jesus, take a break. Come on, man. It's late. It's far away. Clearly, the people are hungry. You know what I mean? And Jesus replies, they don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. It's like, we have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. And as the phone was ringing, Jesus said, bring them here. He said, and he directed the people to sit down on the grass, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looking up to heaven. He gave thanks, broke the loaves, then he gave them to the disciples. The disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate were about 5,000 men beside women and children. Now, and I think it's such a great example that sometimes we can come and feel like, well, I know, Jesus, you gave us this charge. I know that you said, hey, feed my people. I know that you said you give them something to eat, but I mean, this is all I got. But the crazy thing about this example is that Jesus replied, you don't know, you give them something to eat. And when they came to Jesus and said, this is all we have, that for Jesus, that's all he needed. And you may think, you know what, I don't have what it takes. I don't know how to do this. But you do, because you have God. And if you choose to have God, you have everything you need to do amazing things through him. And, you know, and what he did, and you look back at the parable, he told them, bring your stuff to me. And we've got to be people who take on this responsibility, but not really, we don't take it on. We take on this responsibility, we bring it to God. And we take whatever little we have. And I say whatever little, but most of us in here have so much to offer to God.
Amen.
And we need to take on that responsibility and bring the much that we have to God and give it to him so he can make it even more. And the amazing thing was, it's not like Jesus was like this processing plant and the disciples gave him stuff and he just shot it out at people. Right? I mean, they brought it to him and he gives it back. And then they give it to people. God intends to work through you. Today, tomorrow, but through you. You are the means for his message to reach the world. And that's an amazing thing. The most precious message that came at the highest cost. God looks at you and he says, you know what? You're worthy of carrying this. You think of precious things. And I think of the many precious things. I don't know if you had one of those china cabinets growing up that in a room that you weren't ever allowed to go into, right? And you walked and you felt like they like shook and clanked. And you're like, it could have gone in that room. You know, and the more precious things are, the more doors they're behind and the less you can touch them, right? This week I was looking up Ming Dynasty vases. And I was like, why are they so expensive? Google can answer that question for me. Other than the fact that they're thousands of years old and they only made like 20 of them, I guess that's a reason. But, you know, you're not allowed to just pick these things up and walk around with them. Right? But this precious message, the best message, the most amazing message, the most expensive message you can imagine that cost God his life, God wants you to carry it to others. He freely gives it to you.
Come on, Father.
There is great responsibility here, but with it comes great power. Because in the Great Commission, what does he say? I will be with you always.
Wow.
That's the condition. But you have to go out. With great responsibility comes great power. Are we willing to do that? You know, it's interesting. And God chooses to use the foolish things, as this passage said. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27, God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things in this world to shame the strong. So that at the end, that we could not boast in ourselves, but we can only boast in the Lord. So when we look back, we'll know, you know what? There's no way that I did this. That even the people that we share with, that we talk to about church, about the gospel, about the good news, they'll look back and be like, there's no way it was that guy or that girl. That wasn't them. And they could only boast, man, it was God that brought me here.
Amen.
We have a great responsibility, you know, but the buck stops here. The buck stops with you. Only you can make that decision. I can be excited as I want. You know, we have an incredible team ministry, right?
Yeah.
They can be excited. But only they can decide to bring the message to their friends at school. I would get into so much trouble for walking into school and sitting down in their classes and trying to tell their classmates about Jesus. They can do something that only they can do. Tanner can do something only he can do. He has friends that I may never, ever connect with. Some of the teens here, you guys, Jared, you have friends that only you will connect with. Right? And you may be their only hope. And so you've got to figure out, man, what do I need to do? Man, part of it is, man, I've got to get my life right with God so I can get this message to the people. God wants to use us. We have great responsibility, but the good news is that if we decide, it comes with great power. It is not about us. It's not about what we know. It's not about our wise and persuasive words. It's going to be about God. But we have to decide the buck stops here. And like that customer service agent, you've got to be, you know what? I'm not going anywhere until you get this. I'm going to go with you. I'm going to bring your word, God's word to you. I'm going to help. God's going to use me. God has given us great responsibility. God has given you great responsibility. But the buck has to stop with you. And like Matthew 24 says in verse 46, it will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. Again, this part of this passage says so much about how God sees us and how God looks at us and thinks, you know what? God has something amazing in store for you. He has great dreams, great hopes. He wants to give you good things because he wants to see you do amazing things. You have to decide to follow his plan. You have to decide to be his method. You have to decide to be his reach. You know, again, for some of us, that means, you know what? I can't share this if my life is not right. And if you haven't sat down to talk through the scriptures, to think through the decision you need to make Jesus Lord, then today is the calling. And you need to go and start studying the Bible. Start looking at the scriptures and hear what God is telling you. Whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, this plan is for you. Teens, campus, you know, we can no longer say, if we've read this passage, I'm just a teen. No, you know what? Go feed my people. You feed them. You can't just say, well, I'm just a campus student. I've got so much homework and exams. No, you go feed them, right? Whatever little bit you have. I got 5 minutes. You know what? Take that 5 minutes. God will do something with it if you're faithful. I'm single. Well, you know what? God can take your single life and make it amazing. Make it exciting. And people can look at it and go, oh, I want to live that life. Right? Married with kids, married without kids, wherever you are, God has plans for you. You have to decide. You have to decide to invite others. You have to decide to impact your neighborhood. Decide to use whatever little or whatever much you have to bring the message to others. You give them something to eat, as the parable tells us. With great responsibility comes great power. Amen?
Amen.
Now, the second thing I want to talk about is the time is now. We're going to wrap up with this point, but the idea is the time is now. This is all about the urgency that's in this passage. This is the scarier thing, right, that this passage talks about. Because good things will happen if you do these things, right? But there's a warning here. Hey, but what if the servant does this and he just starts thinking these crazy thoughts? And sometimes our minds go there, right? You know what? Is this really, I mean, I don't know about you, but I've been a Christian for 16 years now. I'm going to round me out, I guess, 17 years, which is exciting. But with that time comes a lot of great victories, but also comes a lot of great doubts. You can see things happen, and like this good servant, you can doubt and wonder, you know what, is this really worth changing in my life? Is it really worth me speaking? Is it really worth me doing this right now? But I tell you what, the time is now. Today is the time. You know, it says in James chapter 4, verse 14, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Right? Our life is a mist. I wish I had a mist can, so I can show you. But you think about it, you spray it, that's the mist, right? That's like a teen life. And it's like, shh, and that's like the single life. And it's like, shh, and that's like Dale's life, maybe, right? But at the end of the day,
touch fire!
Hey, it's a great mist. It smells wonderful. At the end of the day, it's just a mist, and it's gone. We've got to be careful that we don't put things off till tomorrow. Because not only is it about our life being a mist, but who knows how short the mist is in the lives of others. You know, we pass them by, we think, you know, tomorrow is promised, but it's not promised. The time is now. You know, it's interesting. There's a certainty in this passage, and there's an uncertainty in this parable, right? And the certainty is that all of us will be judged, right? You do good, you do bad, you don't do anything, you'll be judged, right? There's the good servant, right? There's the bad servant, and then there are the hypocrites, right? And all of us, we're all going to be judged. You can be certain. You can be certain that your life is amiss and your time is measured. God knows the count of your years. But the uncertainty is, when will that time come? And I don't say this to make you afraid. I say this so that you can make the most of what God has given you. Unfortunately, there is an expiration to our lives. But for some of us, that expiration is good. We can't wait to get there, because great promise lies ahead. But there is an expiration. You know, this quote, "The most dangerous of all delusions is there is more time." Now, I want to tell you a fable that's akin to the Screwtape Letters, if you've read C.S. Lewis' Screwtape Letters. But there's a fable that tells about these three apprentice devils who are coming to Earth to finish their apprenticeship, right? Demons who are here to tempt. And they were talking the same in this fable, in this story. The chief of the devils about their plans to tempt and ruin men. The first said, "You know what? I'm going to tell all the people. I'm going to whisper in their ears that there is no God." And Satan said, "That will not delude many, for they know that there is a God." There's so many things that point to God, right? But then the second apprentice devil said, "I will tell men that there is no hell then." Right? And then Satan answered, "You will deceive no one that way, because men know even now that there is a hell for the sin." Amen. In their lives. Yeah. Right? There's this fear, this sense of guilt when we're in sin. But then the third one said, "You know what? I will tell men that there is no hurry." And so Satan said, "Go, and you will ruin them by the thousands." The most dangerous of all delusions is that there is plenty of time.
Amen.
And we have great responsibility, but we don't have a great amount of time. We don't know when our mission will end. The most dangerous day in a man's life, William Barclay says, is when he learns that there is such a word as tomorrow. There are things which must not be put off, for no man knows if for him tomorrow will ever come. And it is a sobering thought. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1, as we prepare our minds and hearts to take the communion, it says, "As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you. In the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation." You know, God wants you to respond to this message today. And however you got here, whether by invitation, by website, by regular Sunday visit, God says now is the day. God's gift is being given. God's message is being shared. You are being called for wherever you are. And for some of us, it's the simple thing is, you know what? I need to have enough courage and enough love of what God has done for me to talk about what he's done. That's some of us. But for some of us in this room, there's sin that's happened. And we need to get that in the open, because you don't know when God will find you. And you want him to find you as a faithful servant, pouring out your sin and being open as he's asked you to do, to receive that forgiveness. Some of us, the sin has happened this week. Some of us, the sin has happened last night. Some of us, the sin has happened this morning. And if you're wondering, what should I do, you know, today, right now is the decision you need to make. Let me get open with this. Let me talk about this, so that I can figure out what God wants me to do, because my time is limited. And I need to help get my heart right so that I can help get the hearts of others right. You know, and some of us here, we need to dig into the scripture. Some of us, have had invitation after invitation to learn who God is, and today is the day. You know, God has already died. He has given up his life. Right? And in the most amazing way, usually you get the promise, and then you pay up, right? Car salesmen, they don't give you a car and be like, "Just pay me next week," right? Well, actually, they do that, but then they get all these numbers, like your social security, your address, your phone number, you know, your job, your employer. The idea is they don't give you anything without knowing that you're going to pay me. But the amazing thing about Jesus is that his gift has already been given. He died first so that there would be no pressure of coercion. He died first so that you knew that you had a choice. Amen. But don't receive God's grace in vain. And, you know, my wife and I were talking this morning, how do you receive God's grace in vain? If I receive his grace, don't I already take it? Well, we can take gifts and never decide to open them. Have you ever had that happen? Had that one uncle who gives you WWF t-shirts every year for Christmas? All you know what to do with that is put it in a corner. It's a gift received in vain. He bought it, you thought you like it, but you never use it. And in the same way, we can receive God's grace. Jesus can die. You can hear the message every Sunday. You can hear the word, but it's in vain if you don't decide to accept the message, to accept the Lordship, to make the decision to follow God. So this morning, as we take this time to take the bread that represents Jesus' body, and we take the juice that represents his blood, that we take time to consider God's grace. And we take time to consider how much God wants to use us, how much God believes in us, that he would die first, right? So that we might have a chance to have new life. Let's receive God's grace. Let's remember the time of his favor. Remember that it is now. Remember that it is today. And let us have a great time considering how he's washed away our sin or how we want him to be a part of our lives. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer before we take this communion. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, I thank you so much, Lord, for the chance to hear your word today. I pray in some fashion, God, this is struck a chord in our hearts in some way that matches up with the dialogue, the conversation you're already having with us, God. I pray, God, that we can hear your voice, God, and that we can push away all of the structures and the functions, and as good as church is and the family of believers, that we just take the time to hear you, God, in our lives. I pray that we take this time today as well, Lord, as we take the communion to remember your sacrifice. How much you loved us, how much you believe, God, in using us for amazing things. I pray, God, that your sacrifice is not in vain. I pray that we're so thankful for it, God, and we remember it and we're broken by it. We love you, God. We thank you so much for this time. And it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.